you know, Strange Fruit started as a series of paintings that I did when I was in Virginia. And it sort of morphed into stories that are, you know, odd stories that come out, like, or that are sort of off the tree of history. So, you know, if you think of the tree of history being, you know, American history being a tree, these are the fruits that are falling off and somewhere down the path you have to go look for. And, you know, as I started drawing these stories about this obscure black history, I started to think about how black people in America, the black experience in America, is really quintessentially the American experience. You know, the people who are, you know, the original type of bootstrap Americans, the people who pull themselves up by their bootstraps and make a way for themselves without that. And you look at the stories that I'm drawing, these are the people who did that in the face of adversity, in the face of struggle. So the idea is to, you know, make these stories a quintessential part of American history, as opposed to being relegated to the 28-day period that we talk about in February, where we go through the greatest hits of black history, you know, to really shine a light on the fact that, you know, what's more American than freedom? Not much, right? And who, like, think about slaves who, like, traveled thousands of miles just so they could tell you, just so they could decide who they were going to get up and be in the morning and where they were going to work and who they were going to marry and where they were going to sleep. And so I think that, you know, thinking about this, thinking, you know, my stories are about obscure black history, and I love researching the history and finding really strange stories that people haven't heard about. But ultimately, I want to expand black history past the 28 days that we talk about into a 365-day celebration, which is part of why I founded the hashtag 28 Days Are Not Enough on Twitter, because I think, you know, post stories outside of Black History Month, post stories everywhere. Let's use all the mediums, comics and social media and, you know, regular traditional media to, like, expand the narrative about black history.
Do you think even African Americans, maybe, Joel, fall into this trap where they maybe only think about some of these things during the one-month period since it's designated as Black History Month?
I don't think black people actually do that because, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, the African-American community in a lot of places, they know a lot of these stories. That's where I get these stories. These are people who already know these stories. And so they're typically, you know, like, right on, we need to do this. But at the same time, people are afraid that if we stop celebrating Black History Month, which is, you know, some of the things that I've said, is like, let's stop talking about Black History Month, let's do it 365 days out of the year, that we will dilute African-American history and it won't be, you know, as prominent as it is during Black History Month. And I think that there is some merit to that argument, but I think, you know, as people, you know, professors and doctors and lawyers and teachers and educators and booksellers and librarians start to encompass the idea that black history is so much richer than the color of people's skin, then you can start making this about a much more interesting narrative, a much more holistic way of looking at American history and how you look at, you know, people like Dr. King, and you look at him in comparison to people during Black History Month, and he has, in some instances, he has more comparisons to Elizabeth Cady Stanton, who was the women's rights activist, than he does to Jackie Robinson, for example, who they're celebrated closely together. And so black people, I think, do fall into that category of only thinking about, I think it's just a cultural thing of only thinking about black history during those months. But I think we need to start, you know, maybe we change the narrative and maybe we don't celebrate, you know, a race or a society or a segment of America in one month. Maybe we look at American ideas like protests, you know, the Boston Tea Party to the Ferguson riots. I mean, these are all things that people do in every sort of epoch in American history. Every era people have protested and, you know, sat in, and, you know, the Tea Party in 2010, you know, they protested because they didn't like something. Or, you know, the Ferguson protests, they were protesting because they didn't want anything. And the Stonewall riots in New York, like, we, you know, Americans protest. Why can't we have a month where we talk about that and talk about the context of how free speech works, as opposed to making it about the color of people's skin? I think, you know, focusing, making black history much more apparent, I think, in my opinion, using comics to do this, using my books to talk about these issues will, I think, in some way, and this is a grand idea. I mean, I'm a cartoonist and a teacher, so, like, this is a crazy idea, but I think it's a one step in uniting us behind the idea that that it's not those people or them people, but we the people.
Hmm.
It's our history.
Telling these stories in comic book style, do you think it makes it more accessible for people, or maybe something that will make more young people pick them up?
Yeah, I think both of those things are, you know, it's a novel idea. Drawing comics and using comics to tell fictional stories is not something that we've done in America regularly. You know, we've told some stories, but we haven't told a lot of stories. And we've talked about it in some ways, but we haven't talked about it a lot of ways. And I think this is a way, you know, I wrote these stories because they were interesting stories, and people always ask me if I wrote them for kids, but I didn't necessarily write them for kids. I just wrote them for people who like interesting stories. I think at one point I said I wrote them for hipsters, you know, people who like interesting things or quirky things. And these stories felt like that to me. So it is a sneaky way to give people more information about things like they didn't know about. I mean, you can read Strange Fruit, Uncelebrated Narratives from Black History, or Tales from the Talented Tenth, the story of Bass Reeves, in a couple of hours. Like, it's not like it's going to be, you know, it's a beach read. It's a, you know, sitting in an armchair read. So it's like, it's something that you can read and take in a lot of information and see a lot of things.
How, just for background, how many books have you written in this genre, you know, in civil rights?
Two so far. The first one was Strange Fruit, and then the second one was Bass Reeves, Tales of the Talented Tenth.
Bass Reeves?
Bass, B-A-S-S,
okay.
Reeves.
And who was he?
Bass Reeves was the most successful U.S. Marshal in American history. He caught almost 4,000 criminals over the course of a 30-year span, and because his life story mirrors, elements of his life story mirror the Lone Ranger, some people think he was the original inspiration for the Lone Ranger.
Was he black?
Yes, he was a former slave.
Oh, wow. I may have heard it. Just skips my mind. Just for background, the time period when you say early civil rights heroes, are you going back how far? I mean, is this before MLK was on the scene and all that?
Yeah, there's most of my stories take place. I think the latest one is probably the 1935. So all of these stories happened before the civil rights movement. You know, some of it happens before the Civil War. Richard Potter, who was the first American stage magician, was active in the late 1700s, early 1800s. He was a black man from New Hampshire. Then there's the Noyes Academy, which was the first integrated school in America in 1838. Malaga Island, which was a integrated community off the coast of Maine that was destroyed by the state of Maine. That was in 1911. Major Taylor, who was the first U.S. black U.S. champion in any sport. He was a cycling champion, and he was in 1899, he held 7 world records. So most of these stories are stories that people, like, nobody's ever heard of these stories. Like, these are things that, you know, I have to do a lot of digging for, and I get them from word of mouth. Like, that's why, you know, I guess it's self-serving that I started the hashtag 28 days are not enough, because I want people to post more obscure black history using that hashtag, so that I can take those ideas and use them as I go along to make more books.
Well, sounds like sort of a fun pursuit anyway, huh?
It is. It's, you know, it's fun and it's, you know, it's interesting. And, you know, now that other people are picking up on the hashtag, like, people are tweeting at me and telling me about other stories, which is the way I put together all the stories in Strange Fruit. People are telling me new stories, so I'm getting almost new stories on a daily basis, which is just fantastic.
People that read the book, or people that, you know, maybe come and listen to you speak, what are you hoping they walk away with?
I hope they walk away with the idea that black history is American history. This is another way of telling our history, our shared history, not the history of those people. And I hope they walk away with, you know, 28 days aren't enough. Like, there are not enough days in February to talk about these stories. That's why I write the books. That's why I created the hashtag. That's why I'm trying to get more and more people involved in this idea that we shouldn't just be thinking about black history during 28 days. We should be talking about it all the time.